Time you need auto parts and accessories, trust the parts professionals at the 31 Cincinnati area O'Reilly Auto Parts stores. Our professional parts people know what it takes to get the job done right. Professionals have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for decades. Now you can too. Professional parts people. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your host tonight is the eating disorder pro, Dr. J. Renee Norton. She comes to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, home of the Bengals, the Reds, and of course, the Norton Center for Eating Disorders. If you or a loved one is struggling with obesity, anorexia, bulimia, emotional eating, or if you're just worried about food pollution, then you'll want to unhook and tune in.
Good evening, and welcome to the Eating Disorder Pro Show. I'm Dr. J. Renee Norton, and I'll be your host this evening. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to talk about the sunshine diet tonight. I know that sounds crazy, but it isn't as crazy as it sounds. If you aren't already, please follow us on Twitter, which is at Dr. Renee, Facebook, which is Dr. J. Renee Norton Center for Eating Disorders and Related Problems, and Pinterest, which is Dr. Renee, all lowercase. Really appreciate all of the wonderful comments, and it makes my heart sing to hear that the information is helping either you or a loved one. Appreciate the questions and any leads you have for areas that we should talk about more, or if you have questions about something that we have said, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us and to let us know. We just want to make life easier for you and help in any way that we can. So this evening, tonight's show is the beginning of a three-part series talking about cholesterol and the amazing role that sunshine plays in our health. This week, we're going to define our terms, i.e. definitions of the various types of cholesterol. I'll bet you didn't know that there are actually 8 different types of cholesterol. I certainly didn't before I started doing this research, but that's true, there are. And we're going to explain what each one of them is and why they are so important. We'll also be talking about the role that cholesterol plays in your health. It's probably very different than what you have been led to believe. And then next week's show, we are going to look at what actually causes the problems that so many of us are having with our cholesterol levels and what we can do about it. The series is going to culminate in 3 weeks with a guest performance by the preeminent scientist in this field, Dr. Stephanie Seneff. She'll answer questions that you submit and or call in to ask. I have several questions for her, so I can't wait to pick her brain. And hopefully after you hear the first 2 parts of this series, you're going to have some questions of your own. All right, so let's get started. When we think of cholesterol, we often think of it as a bad thing. The reality is we can't survive without cholesterol. There are a number of myths when it comes to cholesterol. Myth number one is that LDL cholesterol is bad. The truth is, LDL cholesterol isn't all bad. We need a balance of HDL and LDL for optimal health. The smaller the LDL particle, the more dangerous it is. So it's important to know that there are several different types of LDL cholesterol, and you have to understand the difference between those types in order to be healthy. The most important thing to know about LDL cholesterol is that it's more easily damaged. This is the critical issue when it comes to blood pressure and even plaque buildup, which we'll be talking about in this series. Myth number 2, if I have high cholesterol, taking a statin will prolong my life. Nope. The truth is, not only do statin drugs not prolong your life, they may actually shorten it and or make you more susceptible to stroke, heart attack, yes, heart attack, Alzheimer's, cancer, diabetes, etc., etc. The only exception to that rule is the individual who has a genetic predisposition for cholesterol, high cholesterol. That person may be the exception. There's also an exception in that in a very short-term way, statin drugs may save your life in the short term. But long-term, they are simply not what we think they are, and they can be very dangerous. So it's important to understand this phenomenon, especially if you are on statin drugs or if someone wants you to be on statin drugs. Myth number three, high cholesterol causes heart attacks. Truth? It may actually be a deficiency of cholesterol in the form of cholesterol sulfate that causes heart attacks. That's right. Myth number four, high cholesterol causes Alzheimer's. Truth? The brain needs cholesterol for proper myelination. Dementia actually appears to be driven by glycation, which is inflammation that's brought on by too much sugar, and lack of a certain type of cholesterol called B cholesterol. Myth number five, saturated fats cause high cholesterol. No, absolutely not. Saturated fats offer protection when they are healthy. Saturated fats, sugar is the primary culprit, along with damaged fats and toxins in the environment. So for years now, I have been talking about polluted food and, in general, the pollutants in our environment. This is an opportunity to see how pollutants in the environment and in our food impact our health by virtue of what they do to cholesterol. And also, it's an opportunity to understand what you can do about it and how you can make it better. So let's start out by defining terms. In the first PowerPoint here, we have defined cholesterol, and we say that cholesterol is an organic molecule that is critical to the structure of all animal cells. It functions within the cell to protect the cell membrane and to enable the cell to change shape and move about without a wall. In fact, this is what makes us different from plants and bacteria because they are restricted by their cell walls. It's kind of an interesting idea to me. You probably heard me talk about this before if you've read any of my writing. I've commented on the fact that humans are only 10% human cells and 90% bacteria. So maybe it is the cholesterol that makes it possible for the human 10% to manage the bacterial 90% of the biogenome. I find this concept strangely intriguing as well as strangely frightening. But in any case, bottom line, go cholesterol. It differentiates us. It allows our cells to communicate. Now, apparently that is really, really important. Cholesterol, contrary to what you may have been led to believe, is actually critical to almost every biological function that we have. In this next slide, you can see that cholesterol makes is important for the brain. Cholesterol is critical for myelin. And for those of you who don't know too much neurophysiology, myelin is the part that insulates all of the cells and makes it possible for them to transmit. And believe me, there's a lot of transmitting going on in our brains, and this is a very important thing. Without the myelin sheath, the cells don't communicate and nothing moves, nothing works. Cholesterol also is very important to the heart. It literally, a form of cholesterol called cholesterol sulfate, is literally what allows the heart muscle to beat. Without the cholesterol sulfate, no heartbeat. I'd say that's pretty important. In the membranes of all cells, cholesterols do several things. As I said earlier, they promote cell-to-cell communication. They allow cells to move, which gives them their permeability, and you'll see how important that is in a moment. They prevent leaks in cells. This is what cholesterol does. It prevents leaks in cells. And cholesterol also protects the cells from pathogens. that's like pretty much everything. I mean, those are really critical functions to our well-being. In the blood, cholesterol makes up part of the lipoproteins, the LDL, the HDL, etc. It is essential for protecting contents in the blood from oxidation or free radicals and glycation, or which is what we said is inflammation, during transport to the cells and organs that need the cholesterol. Cholesterol is the precursor to all steroid hormones, beginning with pregnenolone. And this is really important, obviously. These hormones regulate blood sugar. They are the glucocorticoids, mineral balance and blood pressure, the mineral corticoids, sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen, and all the others. It regulates vitamin D. Pregnenolone regulates vitamin D, and it also regulates cortisone, or the stress hormone. Again, that sounds very important. Cholesterol also aids in the digestion of fats. The point is that cholesterol is critical to all of our biological functions. We need it for virtually everything that we do. Who knew? I mean, we talk about cholesterol all the time as if it were the worst possible thing that could happen to us, right? And we're fearful of it, and we worry about the things that increase or cause cholesterol to increase, when in fact, without cholesterol, we literally, the cells in our bodies could not hang together and could not communicate with each other. So let's talk about what are the actual types of cholesterol. There are a number of different types, and in this slide, hopefully you can see that there is VLDL, IDL, LDL, and HDL. You're probably familiar with HDL and LDL, because those are the ones that we tend to focus on the most, and those are obviously very important, but there are several other ones that are pretty important too. So we're going to talk about all of them. Cholesterol comes in the form of lipoproteins, as I said. The lipoproteins range from largest to smallest in density compared to the surrounding water. So we have to reside in the water. The body is about 70% water, and we have to, the fat, which is what cholesterol is, has to reside in this water base. So it needs little containers. And these containers are different sizes, and they contain different proteins because they have different jobs, depending upon where they end up. But the biggest particle, or if you will, container, is chylomicron. And that's what we're seeing here in the slide. It is produced in the gut, and it directly provides fuel from fats to many different cells, but it also delivers fats to the liver, where the fats are sorted out and redistributed into smaller particles called lipoproteins, as well as it also delivers these fats to the heart and to the muscles. One of the lipoproteins is called VLDL, which is very low-density lipoprotein, and it is produced in the liver and carries fat, fat-soluble vitamins, and antioxidants to the cells. So that's VLDL. Some people may have actually looked at their VLDL levels, but most of us haven't seen those or haven't paid attention to those, or they haven't been brought to our attention. So this might be a new one for you. IDL, intermediate density lipoprotein, is a bit smaller than the VLDL and carries cholesterol similar to the VLDL, but just in smaller amounts. LDL, we've almost all heard of LDL. This is the low-density lipoprotein, and this is what is left over after VLDL has delivered most of its content to the cells. It's called bad cholesterol because it's very easy to attack. While traveling, it gets hit by microbes, free radicals, toxin, glucose, in other words, all the pollutants in our food and environment that the poor body has to deal with on an almost constant basis. So again, this is the intersect between the work that I've been doing for the last 4 years looking at food pollution and how it impacts cholesterol levels and our general health, because it has a tremendous impact on our health. So while traveling, the LDL gets hit by microbes, free radicals, toxins, and glucose, as I said. The LDL is the most fragile container, and as such, it is the container most likely to be damaged, especially if there's a lot of sugar floating around. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. That's what causes all the inflammation that people are experiencing right now. And you know, if you're having these problems, it's really uncomfortable. Okay, another form of cholesterol is oxycholesterol. This is kind of a new kid on the block. And not too many people have really heard about oxycholesterol, but it's very important. Oxycholesterol is LDL after it has been attacked and oxidized. It turns out that this is the really dangerous form of cholesterol because it's damaged. And then what happens is enter high-density lipoprotein, or HDL, better known as the good cholesterol. And this is the smallest particle, which is very robust and very reliable. It literally saves cholesterol from turning into damaged oxy-LDL or oxycholesterol. It also destroys pathogens. And it does this in a really cool way. It actually gets inside the pathogen. In other words, it talks the pathogen into ingesting it. And then from within the cell of the pathogen, the HDL destroys it. Isn't that just like amazing? It just never ceases to amaze me how well put together we are, as long as we don't mess with it. So it really deserves the reputation for being a good cholesterol. This is like the whole Trojan horse thing, right? I mean, this is exactly what we're looking at with HDL. So you want your HDL to be as high as possible. You want your LDL to be as low as possible. Okay, another sort of subset of cholesterol is HDL-A1. And this is the form of HDL that brings good cholesterol to the liver, so that it can be distributed throughout the body, because that's the liver's job. The liver's job is to take fat and turn it into cholesterol and distribute it to the cells and in the skin that make to deliver it to the cells of the body that need it. It is produced, HDL-A1, is produced when the cells in the skin made up of cholesterol sulfate are exposed to the sun. That's why we're calling this the sunshine diet, because without exposure to the sun, we don't get the cholesterol sulfate. And that, it turns out, is the most important cholesterol that we have to deal with or talk about or know about. And most people have never heard of it, including me. I had never heard of it before. Finally, one more subset of HDL is the B-HDL, and this is just the form of cholesterol that goes specifically to the brain, and that's why we called it, or someone called it B-HDL. Okay, we're going to get back to the whole issue of cholesterol sulfate and the sun. We're not quite there yet. We need to define a few more terms. Another thing that you need to know about is the apolipoprotein. If you think of the lipoproteins as the method of travel, you can think of the apolyproteins as their navigational system. The apolyproteins guide the lipoproteins to their intended target. Fats are attached to apolyproteins A, B, C, and E, as you can see in the graph on the PowerPoint. HDL attaches to ApoA. LDL attaches to ApoB, VLDL attaches to ApoB and C, IDL attaches to ApoE. So that's how the lipoproteins know where to go. As you notice in the picture of the chylomicron, the lipoproteins, the chylomicrons are 85 to 92% triglycerides. So that's what all those little T's are inside of the chylomicron. 6 to 12% phospholipids, which we'll talk about in just a second. That's just the part of the cell membrane that forms the lipid bilayers. 1 to 3% cholesterol and 1 to 2% protein. So you can see the phospholipid in the next slide. And this is just, it looks like a bilayer. You can see that on the top and on the bottom, it looks the same. And the phospholipids are also very important in terms of transportation. The lipoproteins are transported from the intestine to adipose, cardiac, and skeletal muscle tissue by the chylomicrons. So that's how this whole system works. In a good assessment, you ought to be able to identify a number of different things, starting with your total cholesterol. Total cholesterol, as you can see in the slide, is a combination of LDL, VLDL, and HDL. The ranges below don't mean as much anymore as they used to mean, because it's really not the total cholesterol, but the type of cholesterol that appears to be more predictive or more important when we're trying to figure out whether or not we may suffer from vascular disease or what to do about it. However, these are the traditional ranges. The optimal range is less than 200. A moderate range is between 200 and 239, and anything over 240 has traditionally been considered to be too high. But again, in my own experience, that is not the case. My total cholesterol is right around 240. However, that does not worry me at all, because it isn't the total cholesterol that makes a difference. It's the triglycerides, and I happen to have very low triglycerides, and the LDL that really makes the difference, that really matters. HDL, or high-density lipoprotein, is the one that scavenges around in the blood, basically looking for damaged LDL cholesterol to remove. That's the one that kind of acts like a Trojan horse. It's amazing how important it is and how well it works. The higher your HDL, the lower your risk of heart disease or any vascular disease. Low levels increase the risk. So we want the HDL to be over 60, and you're at risk if your HDL is under 40. It appears that the total number of HDL particles is still not as important as the size. In other words, the larger the HDL particle, the more protection they offer. This is the same relationship that we see with the LDL particles, in that the larger they are, the less damage they cause. We'll talk about that in just a minute. The ratio of large HDL to total HDL is measured using an NMR spectroscopy. Easy for me to say, an NMR spectroscopy method. 5 subfractions of HDL have been identified, from largest and most protective to smallest and least protective. The types are 2A, 2B, 3A, 3B, and 3C. This information is probably more important for research purposes, given that really none of the HDL is bad, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. I simply wanted to include it because I'm a little bit OCD. No. Because it may be important to some people. All right, next we're going to talk about triglycerides. Triglycerides store energy for future use. They are a type of fat or lipid made from any calories the body doesn't need right away after eating. So when you eat more than you need in one sitting, the body converts the excess into triglycerides, which are stored in the fat cells for later energy. This is meant to be a temporary arrangement, the assumption being that when we need the energy between meals, certain hormones will release the triglycerides and supply the needed energy. If you regularly eat more calories than you burn, especially polluted calories like simple or processed carbohydrates, unhealthy fats, damaged food or polluted food, in other words, you are much more likely to end up with high triglycerides or hypertriglyceridemia. Triglycerides are a much better indicator that we are eating too much of the wrong foods than total cholesterol. Very simply, triglycerides tell us that we are taking in more than we are burning off. So cholesterol can tell us that we are eating the wrong food. Triglycerides can tell us that we're eating too much and probably too much of the wrong food. This makes a very strong argument that we should eat 5 or 6 times during the day and eat smaller meals and then 2 or 3 snacks instead of 1 or 2 big meals. So for all of you people who restrict all day long and then binge or gorge at night, very, very bad idea. Let's say, for example, you want to take in 2,000 calories during the day. If you take them in spaced out during the day, you have a much better chance of burning them off and not storing them, because the triglycerides don't need to do anything. They don't need to store. There is no excess at that point in the day, so the triglycerides don't need to store them for you. This is a grossly oversimplistic explanation, of course, but I think simplicity helps in these situations. So the optimal level of triglycerides is less than 150. The moderate level is between 150 and 199. And you have high triglycerides if they're over 200. My triglycerides are under 50. And that's one of the reasons I don't worry as much about my cholesterol. However, I pay attention to everything, so I'm not dismissing any of my cholesterol results. Now for the bad cholesterol, as it's typically known, the LDL, or low-density lipoprotein. Low-density lipoproteins are called bad cholesterol because they are easily damaged, and this drives the body to form plaque in an attempt to fix the damage. Plaque buildup in the arteries can reduce blood flow and increase your risk of heart disease. Notice in the diagram that when we look at a normal artery, it's very clear and very open. And in the artery with the plaque buildup, we can see it beginning to squeeze shut. They also demonstrate in this diagram that this little picture was taken right above the right knee. You can also see in this picture a diseased artery and versus a normal or healthy artery. It's also showing you balloon angioplasty, but hopefully you'll never get to the point of needing balloon angioplasty. Looking at the healthy heart muscle up on the right-hand side and the formation of a blood clot. And again, the blood clot forms in order to try and get rid of the bad or LDL cholesterol. So traditionally, the ranges for LDL cholesterol have been optimally less than 100, moderate 100 to 129, and at risk is over 129. However, this is really an overly simplistic view. As mentioned above, there are actually 3 types of LDL, the very small / small, or VLDL, medium and large diameter, low density LDL particles. It turns out that the higher the number of very small and small LDLs you have, the more at risk you are for atherosclerosis or hardening of the artery. This is because the smaller particles have a better chance of embedding themselves into the lining of the arteries and becoming plaque. The medium and large particles are fluffy and they don't stick. The small ones are sticky and they get caught, and eventually you end up with a blockage. So just to review, in a nutshell, for LDL and for HDL, larger particles are better. For LDL, fewer particles or lower total LDL is better. For HDL, more particles or higher LDL is better. So you can see that summary in the slide. Notice at the bottom of that slide, and these are the ranges. So for the LDL particle number, an optimal range is less than 1260. Poor range is over 1538. For the size, optimally, they should be less than 162 and not more than 217. That's how many small we should have. And in terms of the medium, we should have less than 201 and not more than 271. Now, notice at the bottom, it goes the opposite way. For the HDL large, we want The optimal is to have more than 9,386. A poor outcome is to have less than about 7,000. So it's large is good, small is bad. More is good when it comes to HDL, less is good when it comes to LDL. Researchers have also identified two patterns of LDL, pattern A and pattern B. Pattern B, in which the size and density is smaller, equates to a higher risk factor for coronary heart disease, than does a pattern with the larger, less dense particle, or pattern A. As mentioned earlier, the smaller the particle, the easier it is to break through the cell wall, which is how plaque begins. The test used to measure these subtypes is expensive, and I would not recommend having it done unless you know that your LDL is high. At that point, knowing the particle size and the pattern is very important in terms of figuring out what you want to do next. One more very interesting relationship is that there is a correlation between higher triglyceride levels and higher levels of the smaller, dense, more sticky LDL particles. It kind of makes sense because the body's trying to figure out what to do with all that extra fat that you ate and you didn't need at that moment. And so as it's floating around, it's more likely to get damaged. And that's one explanation. That might not even be right. But the point is that there is a correlation between higher triglyceride levels and smaller LDL particles. So that's not good. Conversely, lower triglyceride levels are correlated with higher levels of the larger, less dense, more buoyant LDL particles. And that's what I have. So even though my LDL is a bit on the high side, the particles themselves, according to the test results, are pattern A, which is, remember, good because they are big, fluffy particles. And that's also consistent with the fact that I have very low triglycerides. All right, in this next slide, we have a really nice infograph by Dr. Mercola. Be sure that you check that out. At the bottom, he says if you take statins, you should take COQ10. So we'll talk more about that in part two. New theories about the role of cholesterol is that it's not too much cholesterol, but not enough of the right cholesterol that causes heart disease, cerebral vascular disease, and diseases like Alzheimer's. And this is because the amyloid beta in the brain and the plaque in the arteries appear to be adaptive responses resulting from a lack of sufficient levels of a form of cholesterol called cholesterol sulfate. Stay tuned for part two to find all about cholesterol sulfate, what it is, how we get it, why it's so incredibly important, and what it means in terms of a healthy heart and a healthy brain. For now, good night. Be sure to commit to be fit, eat clean, and live life wisely. Thank you for joining us. Be well.